Cheers.
So much faster.
No, it's, I wanted to start our us recording while you were talking.
Yeah, no, I was like,
Hi.
What's up?
We're recording.
Oh, are we?
Yes. I'm going to start doing the candid camera, like, turn it on when you're not paying attention.
I'm going to say something so embarrassing.
Yes. Hashtag B-roll. Hashtag snack crew.
Snack crew.
And hashtag slom show.
I did bring snacks today.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was clutch.
What'd you bring for snacks?
I brought, I went to Trader Joe's and got their pita and hummus snacks.
Mm.
Like, so that we each had one.
If Trader Joe's wants to be one of our sponsors, I mean, we've already talked about the Rioja from
mm-hmm.
last episode.
Yeah, the Rioja is great. We were doing R&D for our other business. I drank the 90s,
mm-hmm.
and so I went to get some inexpensive but still incredibly tasty gin.
Yes.
It's the Trader Joe's brand gin, which I really like because it's a little more like sweet, rather than not like sweet. It's like it just like is better balanced for my taste, more like botanical sweet than like juniper botanical.
Mm-hmm. And what was I gonna say? Yeah, you can find that at I drank the 90s, spelled like with the 9 and the 0,
mm-hmm.
and then just an S. And we're on Instagram, and just like hit us up for fun batched 90s themed cocktails in Los Angeles. So we have a wine quote of the day. Wine quote of the day. The wine, it made her limbs loose and liquid, made her feel that a hummingbird had taken the place of her heart. Jodi Picoult.
I mean, that's definitely what wine does to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm constantly loose and liquid. I have a problem not being loose and liquid, which is why I like the liquid.
Yeah. And we're drinking a Prosecco today.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Prosecco is totally like hummingbird heart drink.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, because I can... Proseccos and sparkling wines are like the brunch wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's the wine that if you open it at 10:45 in the morning, no one's gonna say anything.
Right.
They're not gonna be like, Anthony, you have a problem. They're gonna be like, can I get a glass?
We're not opening a bottle of Barolo to let it like
yes.
decant and then.
Yes, I can be drinking this and have an eggs Benedict,
mm-hmm.
which I have not had in a long time. That's
so
more like
good.
New York food for me. Like LA, I just never crave eggs Benedict, but it's still so good.
I do eat avocado on basically everything.
That's fine. I just yeah like
you were gonna say gross.
No, I was gonna say great. I was gonna say fine. No, I just. Messy, eggy, bready. I always want New York-y, kind of like Northeast climate for that kind of food.
Yeah.
And even when it's like chilly out in LA.
Well, it's also like, I don't really want breakfast food when it's chilly. Like in LA, if it's chilly, it's rainy, and I want pho. Like I want,
yes,
yeah.
It's like soupy ramen.
Yeah.
Exactly. So are we getting just into our wine? Should we just take a quick break and then talk about this Prosecco that we're drinking?
Yeah, let's take a quick pause. Let's drink some wine. We'll come right back.
Cool.
One day.
Okay. So, what are we drinking? What did I pick up at the liquor store?
I hear Famiglia Pasqua, Romeo and Juliet Prosecco.
Yep.
That's what the vino's telling me from the picture, at least.
Is it from a city called Treviso?
Yeah, so I was just doing a little extra, like, digging on Prosecco, because I know that there's this whole, like, misunderstanding of, like, the difference between champagne and sparkling wine, and, like, yeah, there's the basic, like, well, if it's not made in the champagne method, then it's sparkling wine, but, like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that's, like, I mean... Like a lot of things in wine production, it's incredibly boring.
Uh-huh.
But essentially, the difference between the champagne method and the method that they use to make the Prosecco sparkling wine is, like, champagne is, after production, immediately put in bottles to, like, ferment and disgorge. I would love a little more,
mm-hmm.
thank you. You put it in the bottle, you put it on these shelves called lees, so that the neck of the bottle is pointing down, so that any of the yeasts and sugars will, like, make their way down to the top
okay.
of the bottle. And that way, like, when people talk about disgorging bottles, they're opening the bottles to get rid of all that, like, sedimenty, yeasty,
yeah.
nasty
mm-hmm.
stuff. And then they'll recork it, and leave it. And, like, that's a whole... I'm not going, like, technically enough. Like, there's a whole bunch more stuff that I'm definitely leaving out. But the main difference between that champagne method and Prosecco is that Prosecco does not go immediately into a bottle to ferment. It
uh-huh.
goes into a big old, like, barrel. Not a barrel. It's probably, like, a stainless steel something. What does it say here?
Are there any residual sugars, like, at all with Prosecco?
I think frequently, but not in this one. Like, so the other thing that I was reading up about is... traditionally, yeah, there's a lot more RS in...
Because Prosecco is known as, like, the lowest cal of the wines, right? In terms of, like, if you're drinking... from what I understand,
mm-hmm.
like, a lot of people like drinking Proseccos because they're, like, by the glass, like, 100 calories or less.
I mean, I'm
right?
not someone who's ever looked any of that up. Like, that's never been an issue for me.
I need to do my... Well, no, so that's why I think it gets kind of equated to, like, a brunch drink, because... People can kind of
put orange juice in it, and you add all the calories.
You muck it up. Well, the joke. A lot of those people will be like, "Oh, do like a little
right.
a little drop of OJ. All right, but yeah, no, I was just curious on that. This color is interesting because it's actually kind of greenish if you look at it.
Yeah.
We like this one, right?
We do. We really like it. So something I was saying earlier is I usually find Prosecco to be like way too fruity for my palate, and like it ends up lingering a lot longer. This is like really crisp and clean. I was reading a little bit and I definitely agree, like pear, like that, like
pear
fresh
melon.
Yeah. That was the first thing that I said. The first thing I said was like unripe melon, like, or like too ripe melon. I can't quite decide. It's not like sweet. Like
and
melon.
It's not syrupy, but it has like that syrupy kind of effect at the end. Like it does not in a bad way, but it's like the kind of residual sugars of like a fruit kind of at the end. Like it's not biting. It's not yeasty at all. And it definitely, the finish is a little longer at the end. But you're right, it's not super front forward on the palate. It's kind of mellow at the start. Like it's at the start you kind of don't know what it's going to be. It's like really clean, and then the fruit kind of comes at the tail end. It's on the nose, it's like just normally aromatic. It's like,
yeah, it's
fun to drink for sure.
Yeah,
it's something I could kill for sure. It's definitely crushable. Yeah,
very. Yeah, and I would say it, like, especially if you're the kind of person who likes bubbles but like doesn't really like a ton of fruit, this is a great way to go.
And crushable, for anyone who doesn't know, it's just something that you can like drink really fast, like, so it's like easy drinking. Yeah. Down it.
Crush pounders, they call them.
This is the benefit to our podcast. We can talk terms that are just normal for like someone who's like going out and like hearing these words a lot. But yeah, if you heard crushable, I feel like you could assume what that meant, but who knows.
Yeah, you never,
maybe,
like,
you don't know.
Yeah, maybe you're just like left out there in the cold being like, does it have to do with the fact that wines crush them or grapes crush themselves?
Maybe. Yeah,
it doesn't.
Is there any other wine terms that you find funny or words?
I just really like porch pounder because that's just such, that gives you such an image.
Kind of sounds like a Pornhub category.
Exactly.
Honestly.
That's a new category.
I'm trying not to get too NS18. Is NR18? What's like the rating above rated R for movies?
Yeah.
X-rated, but like,
yeah,
it's, but like, it's like something
NA,
I think it's NR, like,
yeah,
not rated.
NR, yeah.
Right, whatever.
That's the whole thing.
I'm afraid of sounding like a dumbass on this episode for whatever reason. I'm having that moment in my brain where it's like the words coming out,
well,
but then
just,
I'm like doubting,
like,
myself.
To be completely like transparent, we're doing this much earlier than we normally do.
Yes,
so
I woke up
like...
really early today for a variety of reasons. So.
So your brain is not working on all cylinders.
Yeah, me no talk good today. but yeah, and also the wine store I wanted to go to was closed today, so that's why we went back to the liquor store. But yeah, so Sideways. But yes.
Can I make a comment about Sideways just as a movie?
Yes.
As a piece of art?
Yes. I have one good thing to say about Sideways, too, after you're done.
Okay, we want to end on the good note, right, because that's how you do criticism. Right.
You want to do a shit, it's on a shit sandwich.
Yes, yes,
you're
supposed
to do good,
bad,
good.
Got it. So earlier we were talking about Charles Bukowski, and,
we were talking about not having people who are canceled on our show, but anyway, like with our one quote.
Sure.
And stuff. Anyway.
So, I'm
not that we could have Charles Bukowski on our show.
Well, I wouldn't allow it. Is the first thing.
But also, he's just been dead for decades.
Also, he's
dead. Yeah.
I mean, like, we could have a séance.
No.
I'm not opposed to
I mean, I'm into astrology podcast. So yeah. Anyway, off topic.
Anyway,
yes.
We were talking about Charles Bukowski earlier, and so like I have a similar issue, not quite as extreme with him as I do with Sideways. So Sideways, is so goddamn misogynistic, and he is such a baby the entire time.
I would love if they redid Sideways and it was like just queer and femme the whole time.
That's all it needs.
And it was non-relational. It was just friends being all cute and quiche.
Yeah.
Up in Santa Barbara County, just drinking good wine the whole movie.
Yeah,
very little drama.
And it's so, he's so like, woe is me, everything's the worst because
he's
I'm
like
a straight white man.
Well, Paul Giamatti plays
really
Paul Giamatti plays a late 30s high school teacher who's trying to complete his novel. And his friend, like, that other guy, is about to get married, and it's, like, a bachelor weekend.
Sandra Oh is hot in that movie.
Sandra Oh is, like, mid-30s in that movie, and she's killing it. I literally had to check in on how old she is, because I saw her in that movie, which was 15 years ago, and I was like, she's ageless. Like, you just don't know where she's at ever. I love when she pops up in things.
Yeah.
I stan her so much. The thing, there were two moments I loved about that movie that I actually looked up from my phone. And the one I can remember, because I can't remember the first, the one I can remember is, like, the other actress, Virginia Madsen. Her monologue about loving wine, about how wine's a living thing. And it's,
I
like...
I had to do a scene from Sideways in an acting class. Did I ever tell you that?
No, but did you do that monologue? Because it's the best one.
Yeah,
it, that is, like, what won them the Oscar, for sure, on, like, writing. Because they won the screenplay.
Yeah. It's a great monologue.
it's beautiful about how like a bottle of wine is truly like a living organism, and like how you drink it one day versus another day is a different wine. Mm-hmm. The wine's literally changing in the bottle. This more applies to certain wines than others. I don't recommend like aging or once again like organic wine or anything like that. But like truly some people wait for their wine to get to a peak point. Mm-hmm. And then like all things in life, after that peak point, the wine begins to degrade.
Yeah.
So there truly is like a time and place for things. Like even in the first scene, the one guy is popping the bottle of like a really nice bubbles in the car when they're heading up to Santa Barbara County. Paul Giamatti's like, no, it's not chilled yet. It's not ready. I've been saving for this. And the guy's like, whatever, dude. And he opens the bottle and Paul Giamatti's like, whatever. We're still drinking really great wine. Mm-hmm. In like these like little flutes in a car, like a 90s Saab going up.
I know. That part was also going ridiculous.
Going up the I-5 or whatever.
Yeah.
I-5 or whatever, the one, whatever.
Yeah,
they're probably taking the one.
They're definitely taking the one because it's all that, like,
for the movie, they're taking the one. Yeah. But if you're being convenient, you should take the 5. Yeah. So, she was just, it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. She was also saying, she was speaking, the monologue was speaking to how, like, the people who have, like, cut those grapes and produced that wine, like, the, all the people involved and where they were at, and maybe they're not even alive anymore because of how old the bottle is. Like, it truly is this, like, it's like this letter that you're, like, engaging with. It's like that. Is it written by people who are either here now or no longer here? And I had a friend yesterday be like, I think it's so funny that you like, he doesn't drink, so no fault on his own. But he was like, I think it's so funny how much you like wine. And I'm in a setting right now where we're not as wine forward. We're more in a cocktail forward restaurant. Mm-hmm. So he just doesn't know. Cause in the other setting, it was much more wine forward and all of us were just drinking a ton of wine. But like, this is how I think about wine. Wine is like, wine is storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Wine is like experiential storytelling. You're drinking a story. There is so much. Like, sometimes when I talk wine to guests, it's not even about the taste. It's totally about the story. It's about the producers, who these people are, like, why the thing tastes the way it does. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Which is why you have to learn about the soil.
Yeah. If you're drinking a wine from the Canary Islands, it's because of, like,
the volcanic ash
is, like, totally a feature of those wines.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yes.
And, you can really, it's, like, my favorite thing about wine is, like, you can taste where it's from. Like, when I think that's part of the reason that I love Santa Barbara wine
if
so much.
Any wine producer from the Canary Islands wants us to like go there and drink wines and like have a little like excursion and meet y'all, like we are so down for that.
It would really mean a lot to me because that's where my grandma used to vacation with her sister.
And me no travel for a little bit. So,
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like this, the reason that I like wine from Santa Barbara so much is that I've been there and that when you're like smelling it and when you're tasting it, like you can smell place. You can smell like the dust of the dirt roads.
Yeah.
And like that's why you get so prosaic about it because it's like, oh, this literally reminds me of being there.
Mm-hmm.
Wine can even change with like the environment that you're in, with the people that you're with.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't taste the same if you're tasting it for the first time and you hate the people that you're with, you know? Which is why it's so fun.
Reminds me of Paris. I've been to Paris twice.
Yeah.
First time I went with people I didn't like and I was like, I hate Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Next time I went, I was with like NYU students and it was like fun. We saw Lady Gaga and I went out and I was like, Paris is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And wine is the same way.
Wine is the
a lot of
same
things
way.
Are the same way.
Yeah. But I think it's a good
wine is a people product. Right. You're right. It's not in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this thing that you just taste and it's just there. It's like hands went into it. People's brains went into it.
Mm-hmm.
The dinner table that you're at went into it.
Exactly. Somebody chose this wine to bring this year, which is like what we're encouraging you guys to do. You know, like buy with intention.
Yeah.
And like, and you'll have such a fun time.
And keep an open mind. I had a guest yesterday who like didn't, I was, we have two really cool Spanish wines on the menu right now. We don't have a lot of French wine across. It's like a lot of California, Italian, some Spanish. And, you know, people want French wine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they think about. They want French wine and maybe they want Italian wine.
Right.
And maybe California. But
yeah, but it's Napa.
Yeah, exactly. And he wanted a cab. We have a cab blend, Spanish wine. He's like, I don't want Spanish wine. I was like, but that's the fullest body we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
He tries it. He likes it. But he's like, I want to go into something else. He wants red still. And we have a really cool Mencia. Have you ever had Mencia?
I mean, maybe I have.
Our drink's like a Cab Franc meets a Syrah.
Where's it from?
It's from Northwest Spain.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was. I think it's fun. It's brambly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like good with like lamb and rabbit. It's probably my most favorite red.
Mm-hmm.
I literally asked Arsene where to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
He said K&L might have some bottles. We're pricing that by the glass $15, so it's definitely a reasonable wine bottle. That's a really reasonable price point.
I'm gonna go on. That's one of my favorite things about Spanish wine in particular.
Yeah, price points are good.
Price points are great.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna be really great quality wine, but like just totally affordable.
And this guy was like, a Spanish wine again? And I was like, I know, dude. Like for me as a server too, it's like I get the whole selling experience. Like a part of me was ready to just be like, let's just do an Italian so you feel like you're doing something different.
He wouldn't have liked it as much.
Right. And I'm like, I literally was like, no vote of confidence here. I was like, you're going to like it.
Right.
Liked it a lot. So I was like, good job, Anthony.
Nice work.
Thank you.
Nice work, buddy.
Anyway, we're going to, I'm going to.
Yeah, it's time.
So we're going to move into Vivino reviews again. Did you find any that you liked?
I did.
Okay, cool. Phoebe, do you want to start us off?
So we're just talking about the wine that we're currently drinking.
Yeah, we'll start with reviews of the Prosecco that we're currently drinking.
I like this one. I think it's fun and silly. A brut, so you expect dry, but often the Prosecco is too sweet. This wasn't. Just right, said Goldilocks. And a nice apple, exactly. And a nice apple and pear nose with more of a white stone fruit on the palate. Perfect for our Vietnamese lunch with the old team.
Mm.
That sounds like that's
who wrote sweet. That? What was the user's profile?
Mario Speedwagon.
Mario Speedwagon. Hey, Mario.
Hey, Mario.
Okay, so we drank. There's a really cool restaurant in Lincoln Heights where I live called Gamboge. They are the best. We love them. They are such a cool team. Shout out to everyone there. We love Nikki. We love the host, Nikki.
She's lovely.
She's so cool. Mm-hmm. And they have some really cool wines there. We had this one orange when we first ate there.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Gewürztraminer. Gewürztraminer.
But skin contact.
Yes. And I'm going to pull up two reviews that I thought were really telling of this wine. This wine was like damp, mossy. I described it as like the sad scene from Bridge to Terabithia, mm-hmm. but in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
It was like river rocks. It was a very interesting orange, mm-hmm. for me. It was not smelly in the way that you're typically. It wasn't like Thanksgiving-y in the way a lot of oranges are. It wasn't spicy at all. I like this orange a lot. So the first review is by B. Shea, and they wrote this review 3 stars. And they wrote, funky, 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 clean peach, maybe also lychee, orange blossom. TBH, not a fan. Such a clean chemical taste, green apple nose, tang on the tongue when chewed. Appreciate the experimentation and effort, but TBH would not buy again. Savage.
Truly.
Savage. And then this is Georgia McKay.
Okay.
And they rated this 4.5 stars. And they wrote, ginger, nectarine, mango, rosewater, hay, wet river stones, mm-hmm. orange and grapefruit on the nose, medium acidity, dry or oily texture, medium and body. Palate matches the nose. Some salinity there. Super juicy. Complex. Balanced. Not disappointing. Both are valid, but I think we more aligned with Georgia McKay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We really
enjoy it's this also one. Like some people really aren't looking for funky.
Oranges are all over the place. Yeah. It's like new terrain, skin tonic, new terrain. And
it's old terrain.
Old terrain. Oh, it's OG terrain.
OG terrain.
You're totally right by that. But like, it is this, that orange that was is like totally not what you're expecting.
No.
In the best way though. It's the best.
Yeah, I think it's really fun.
We love it.
The other thing was it was so unexpected. Like when you look at labels.
The label was an orange having a straw. So you're thinking it's going to be like a blue moon. Like you're like, it's going to be super mm-hmm. citrus forward. And it was like, misleading.
Totally not that.
Misleading in the best way.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Hashtag in the best way.
In the best way.
We are going to now, just for the Vivino sake,
uh-huh.
do a quick poem.
Great.
On this wine. And
who's starting this week?
I started last week.
So I started this week?
Yes.
On a warm morning in late spring.
Diving my fingers through the center of a melon.
The juice runs over my lips.
Call me by my name.
Melons.
Melons is my name. So, Fiona, what's making you happy this past week?
What's making me happy is honestly, I just started a writing class this week and that's,
awesome.
Yeah, it's sketch writing. It's, you know, I don't have a ton of experience in it, but it's really fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's congrats.
Thank you.
Yay.
Yeah.
And the weather's getting nicer and the sun's out.
The weather's getting nicer.
Depression
is lifting.
It's lifting.
My inspiration is coming.
Bye, depression.
Yeah.
Depression, who is she?
Right, exactly.
I don't know her. I'm happy.
Set at 4 a.m.
Yes. Always the witching hour.
Always the witching hour.
What's making me really happy is Veneno on HBO Max.
Oh, right.
It's a Spanish language show that's being like just like syndicated through the US through HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Cristina La Veneno, which is like a storied figure in Spain from like the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
That's when she was like the most popular. It's really just beautifully written, beautifully shot. It speaks really clearly to like the trans experience
mm-hmm.
for a lot of individuals. It has two kind of parallel storylines. Like it kind of jumps between a past and present.
Mm-hmm.
And the present day is this person who is transitioning in the show while writing about La Veneno for a school journalism class and is like writing a book about her. And she's like a very, La Veneno is just like very like, iconic and also just very like story-like with her own description of herself. So the main character kind of has to, she's developing a friendship with her, but has to separate like the storytelling from the actual like writing process. Mm-hmm. It's funny that we're both talking about like writing as what's making us happy.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, me neither. The show is just like, it's very beautifully shot. I can't stress that enough. It's kind of taking place in like the mid-aughts is like the modern storyline. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing like iPod minis and you're seeing like kind of like you're seeing people like typing on like T9 and they do like text messaging really cute.
Yeah.
And it's there are like it makes you tear up. But not in like a melodramatic way, it's just in like a heart enlivening way, because I think what the storyline is about essentially is like sisterhood and motherhood. Mm-hmm. But like this person who's writing the story about La Veneno kind of finds about her and a bunch of other older trans women, and it's a bond. Like they all go to La Veneno's apartment multiple times, and they're recounting La Veneno's old memories, and that's where the flashbacks happen. Mm-hmm. But this is also where this young individual is kind of learning how to present themselves confidently, learning certain vocabulary, learning the mannerisms. Mm-hmm. And it's like an education all of itself. And at least in the modern storyline, with at least I'm only on episode 3, but what's beautiful so far is like this the main character, or like one of the main characters, like they have a good relationship with their mom, and their mom is like totally cool with them transitioning. So it's very it's in contrast to La Veneno's storyline, which she grew up in a earlier time period with like a very more religious family. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really beautiful storytelling.
I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, you should.
What's it on?
HBO Max. Oh. It's called Veneno. Veneno. And just I recommend switching it to Spanish and watching the subtitles.
Right.
Because the dub's kind of weird. The English dub. But anyway, that is our show.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, Slamcha.
Slamcha.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to our last episode.
Please rate and review us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to us wherever you listen to That Slam Talk.
Slamcha! Slamcha.